But when the testing comes, you will be blindsided by it. You won't ever see it coming. It'll be in a way that you never thought. Because God is testing something that you're blind to.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Trusting God in Difficult Times and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
How many of you know that we serve an awesome God? How many of you know that we serve a God that's in charge? We serve a God that is in charge. And sometimes it's hard to trust God in difficult times. But how many of you know that it's kind of easy to trust God in good times, right? When things are going good, our hands are high in praise, aren't they? Right? But when things aren't so good, it's a little bit harder to trust. Somebody was talking with me this morning about an illness in their body, and they said they get depressed sometimes because it hasn't gone away in a while. And it's making it hard to trust God in that difficult time. And it was kind of funny that this person spoke this to me because it coincides with what we're talking about today, that things don't always have to be going good in your life in order for you to trust God. We'll be talking about Job and his trust through difficult times today. I would please ask that you would stand one last time in reverence to the holy word of God. Our key verse is going to be Job chapter 13, verses 15. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version today. Job 13, 15, New King James Version reads, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." The story of Job can be as perplexing as it is disturbing. At times, Job can be downright frightening. Job suffered immense heartache through personal loss and physical affliction. Job lost his family. Job lost his property, his health, and even his friends turned on him. Yet he remained faithful to God. The story of Job tells us that Satan attacked Job with the permission of God. That Satan was coming to God, and God questioned Satan as to what he was up to. And Satan said, "I'm looking around to get somebody." You know, that's what Satan does. Whether you believe it or not, there is a devil. He's the cause of many of your problems, if not all of them. Of course, we help him out a lot, don't we? When he's not busy attacking us, we come up with ways to mess our own lives up. God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant, Job?" And then he went on to say that Job was a righteous man, that God couldn't find another more righteous man in the land. Righteousness because he trusted in God. That's where his righteousness came from. He trusted in God. And here was God. Here was God talking to Satan about testing Job. Doesn't sound right, does it? Doesn't sound fair, does it? It is my prayer that in this sermon, you'll learn something about God and learn something about yourself and then learn something about your relationship to God. Many of us, when we become Christians, we want the will of God in our lives. And Often, if not always, the will of God is for us to be his vessel. And we're always looking out for the blessings for ourselves, aren't we? If we want to be honest. But what about when God says, I want you to suffer for the sake of someone else? Job suffered for the sake of us because we have the writings of Job in the Bible. And we have the characteristics laid out pertaining to God more clearly. We can understand the big picture a little bit better of how God deals with people individually and as a whole. So sometimes the suffering that you go through isn't just for your benefit, but it could be for somebody else's as well. And Job, as disturbing as it can be at times, as frightening as it can be sometimes, is a book that everybody should read and study and meditate upon so that they can understand that we have to trust God in difficult times. Amen? My first point that I want to go over is that Job teaches us that God puts us to the test. God puts us to the test. Job 13:15 says, Though he slay me, Job had lost all of those things. Job believed that God had it out for him. Ever feel like God's got it out for you? One bad thing after another is happening, and you think that God is systematically killing you. You just don't understand why one bad thing after another is occurring in your life. And finally, you come to the conclusion that God has it out for you. Job believed that and was stating that, though he slay me. He had come to the conclusion that God was going to take him out, but not before some suffering was taking place. A slow, miserable, horrible death. Of course, that's not what God did. Job believed that God had it out for him and was slowly killing him. But God was actually testing Job. Pastor, that's not fair. I'm not God. I don't make the rules. I don't own everything. I didn't create everything. The one who creates is the one who manipulates. Amen? They're the owner of it. They can do what they want. For those of you who have not fallen into the hands of God when he is ready to test you, trust me, if you live long enough, you will go through a testing of God and he will introduce himself to you eventually. The problem with Job that I have is that Job knew God. He was God's friend and God was his friend. Yet Job still endured this horrific testing. But he remained faithful. And Job is a testament to us that when we go through painful testing, we too must trust God. God did not want to destroy Job, but Job was ready to accept it if God did. Job was ready to accept anything that God was going to give to him. Though he slay me. Job took hope in his own obedience to God. Listen to this. Job took hope in his own obedience to God, knowing that the mercies of God through obedience and belief in God would save him. Job knew that this testing didn't come from anything he had done wrong. He knew this in his heart, and he took hope in that. Job 23:10 tells us, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." But his friends were making up all excuses as to why God was destroying him. And he was saying, look, when God is done with me, he's going to know that I am an obedient servant to him. Which was more perplexing because why was God allowing this then? Right? When we are obedient to God, we have far less to fear in testing times.
But when we are disobedient to God, we cannot be as confident as Job. So when you find a test coming along, you should check yourself. Am I out of the alignment with the Word of God? Am I being disobedient? And if not, then what is God trying to teach me or perhaps somebody else around me? But more than that, you need to stay trusting God. Job did this. My second point is that Job teaches us to have faith through adversity. Again, our scripture, Job 13:15, yet will I trust him. See, he believed that God was going to what? Kill him. Yet I will trust him. He was going to trust God all the way to the grave. He believed that the goodness of God would not stop with his own death. That takes faith. That takes dedication. That takes a person who is devoted to God. We don't have a lot of devotion in today's world, do we? People are with you one moment, and they're talking about you the next. People love you to your face, and they're slandering to your back. People say they'll stay married to you forever. They run off with somebody else. It happens. I don't think America really knows what devotion is anymore. But that doesn't change the Word of God, because people change doesn't mean what God wants us to do changes. Amen? That's why we read our Word and we find out that the real relationship that we need to be having is one with God. And when we get this right, all the other relationships will fall into place. I can't be a good husband to my wife, Terry, as great as she is, as a wonderful woman and wife that she is to me. I can't be a good husband to her unless I have the Word of God flowing through me, teaching me, correcting me, and helping me to love her correctly, no matter how great she is. And she is great. I'm very blessed. But without God's help, I can't be that husband she needs me to be. Without God's help, you can't be the worker at your job the way God wants you to be. Without God's help, you can't be the parent to your children that God wants you to be. And it can be difficult to be a husband. It can be difficult to be a wife. It can be difficult to be an employee. It can be difficult to be a parent. But you trust God through those difficult times, applying the Word that He gives you in His holy book. You trust Him, knowing that by obedience and trust and faith in Him and doing what He tells you to do will get you through those testing times, those difficult times. You don't give up on God, even when everyone else and everything else has given up on you, including sometimes our bodies. Amen. We have to remember that God's Word is a rock, and it doesn't change. It doesn't change. Even though Job believed God was going to take his life, he still had trust in God. He still had trust in God. Sometimes when we get bad news from the doctor, we go, "Why me, God?" Or we get bad news in the mailbox, "Why me, God?" We don't always understand why bad things happen when we're trying our best to live an obedient life. And then, like Job, our friends come out of the woodwork and they say, "Ooh, God's getting you, don't we?" Well, they must be doing something wrong because God has got the finger on them. Woo, God's mad at them. But that wasn't the case with Job. God said there was none righteous as him in the land, and his friends were talking him down, trying to break his spirits. How many times have you been down and a friend tries to come along and help you out, and everything they say is negative, 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 negative? And you're like, "You're not helping." "Oh, I'm saying this for your own good." Well, how come I don't feel good about it? Right? We all got friends like that, don't we? And Job's friends were out to get him. See, sometimes you do have people, when difficult times arise, that will come out of the woodwork and they are just waiting to pounce on you as soon as something bad happens.
I told you you weren't as great as you thought you were. Mm-hmm. Now you're getting yours. Job had friends like that. But he also had another friend. He had God. And he trusted in that friend above his earthly friends. He trusted in the words of that friend more than he trusted in the words of his earthly friends. Today's world, we have a lot of naysayers, and we have a lot of people against God, a lot of people against Christianity. Do we trust in what they have to say, or do we remain truthful and trusting to God? No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how much persecution comes, no matter how much ridicule we receive, do we just join ranks with the rest of them who are name-calling us so that we don't have to bear our cross anymore? Or do we trust God through those difficult times? Do we pray in public, even when we're told we're not allowed to? Do we carry our Bibles to work, even though the boss doesn't like you to? Do we trust God in difficult times, even when the world doesn't? God has a purpose in every test he puts us through, whether or not you see it. And even though we don't always feel good, right, when the tests are happening, the tests are good for us. Pastor, you're crazy. If you knew what I was going through right now, you would not want it. And I don't see how it could be good for me. But see, I'm not God, and you're not God. And we don't see the full picture. When God looks down at humanity, he sees every single person who's ever lived, who's now living, and who will live. And he sees the entire picture like a map laid out before him. Now, you and I, we see to the corners of life. But God sees around those corners. He's looking from above. He's looking at the entire picture, past, present, future. And he knows how all things are going to work together because he's working those things. So he sees things you don't. He saw things that Job couldn't see. And Job didn't need to see them because he trusted God. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or testing, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Understand something. When you are a Christian, there are things inside of each and every person that God cannot use inside of you. They are roadblocks to him. One of the things is patience. Patience with people. Patience with circumstance. Even patience with God. You know, we always say, take your time, Lord, but hurry up doing it. Right? We always pray expecting instant microwave results when we pray. God is not a fast food restaurant. But see, he allows the testing to come in to teach you patience, which teaches you faith. Because when you have to wait for something that doesn't look like it's coming, and then suddenly it's there, after a long wait, after patiently waiting, you say, wow, God came through. I can trust him. You see, God puts us through testing because testing actually teaches us. It teaches us something about ourselves. It teaches us something about him. You put a dirty pot that you can't see the dirt in on the stove and you cook it and you watch it start to boil, the impurities will come to the top because the heat is on. God likes to put the heat on us so the impurities inside of us start boiling to the top, because there are a lot of Christians that think they got it going on. There are a lot of conceited, arrogant Christians who think because they read their Bible, go to church, and participate in church, that they are more righteous than others. So God says, well, why don't I just turn the stove up on them a little bit? And when something happens in their life that makes them uncomfortable, the impurities that they are ignoring, the impurities that they are blind to, will start boiling to the top. Let me put somebody difficult in their life and watch how they act out and lash out. Watch them squirm a little bit, not for the sake of hurting the person, but to show them there's still work to be done. There's still work to be done. The testing never comes when you think it's going to come. And the testing never comes the way you think it's going to come. People tell me, well, there's nothing that God can do to me. I've been through it all. How could he hurt me any more than I'm already suffering? Well, God's intention is not to hurt you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I have good thoughts towards you. I know my thoughts towards you. They're of good. Not to harm you. But when the testing comes, you will be blindsided by it. You won't ever see it coming. It'll be in a way that you never thought. Because God is testing something that you're blind to. Amen? If you could see the testing, you could already see the problem, right? So why would he need to test you on it? The testing is to reveal the problem he's trying to show you. My third and my last point is Job declares God's mercy. How many of you want God's mercy? Listen, when you're going through a testing, you realize who's in charge. When God brings you to your knees in a test, you're humble. And then you cry out for mercy. You're past the point of saying, I deserve anything from you, God. He's got you on your knees now. You're past the point of expecting anything from him. Now you're begging him for his mercy because you believe in his mercy, because he's taught you something that you can ask for his mercy even in the most difficult of times. And Job declares God mercy. In our key verse, Job 13:15, he says, even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Now, what is Job saying? He is saying, if you remember the verse, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Listen, Job thought he was going to die. But Job knew he was going to trust God to be in front of him, to be delivered from the pits of hell. And he says in this statement, I'm going to be face to face with God in death. I'm going to be coming up to his home. God is going to deliver me. And I will have the chance to defend my ways to his face. What he was stating was his own salvation. Praise God. This statement declares that Job believed that God was going to save him from the grave. That's a powerful statement of faith. That Job knew that, believed that he was going to lose his physical life, but that he trusted in God's mercy so much that no matter what happened to him in this life, God would deliver him up face to face, and he would have a chance to argue with God, to defend his ways before him. Okay, God, you've killed me. I've trusted in you, and you've delivered me. Here I am. Job was making the statement of salvation in the Old Testament before Christ died on the cross. Now, what does that teach us about faith? What does that teach us about believing and not seeing? He believed in the mercy of God, and he declared the mercies of God. Job believed he would die, and in death he would be face to face with God. That is a strong belief to have. Many Christians, after the fact of Christianity has been established in the New Testament, we believe in Jesus. Yet a lot of Christians still doubt. Will God take them home? But Job believed it before Christ came. Amen? Because it is the mercy of God, the mercy of God that we rely on. Who wants mercy? Mercy is an important thing, especially when you're going through what Job was going through. Job was not planning on proclaiming his own righteousness to God face to face. Don't make a mistake. But instead, he would proclaim God's grace. I'm here because you love me, even though these things happened to me. And he would worship God face to face. Face to face. Now, every person is going to be face to face with God, right? Amen. The question is, what will the conversation be like? Will it be one like Job is planning? Or will it be one like a courtroom where the judge is sentencing you? Right? For those of you who don't know God, He will introduce Himself to you one day, either in this life or the next, but you will get to know Him. I pray that for those who don't know God today, who are alive, that they will get to know His mercies and His grace through Jesus Christ, that a person does not have to die and go to hell. In conclusion, I want to say that testing forces us to face things we often ignore. Well, I know I've got an anger management problem, but I don't really have to face that. It's somebody else's problem. See, they have to put up with me. But when God brings a test concerning your anger problems, He can bring that to the top, and you'll have to deal with it. Amen. When God tests us, we can be sure that He can be trusted through it, no matter what the outcome. Job trusted Him unto death, knowing that his body might die, but his soul would continue on. When God tests us, we can be sure that He can be trusted through it. Part of testing involves God taking away the things you used to trust in. The doctor says He can't do anything for you. You trusted in doctors, but now they can't do anything for you. God has taken that away. The bank says, I can't give you a loan. Well, you trusted in money, but now you don't have money. Your friends said they loved you and cared about you and would never leave nor forsake you, but you can't even reach them on the telephone. You can't trust in them. Who are you going to trust? You've got to trust God. Many tests can feel overwhelming, but with God's grace, we can and we will get through them. So the whole point of testing you is to break you, to change you, to humble you. Some of us are so proudful that we think we're going to live forever without the help of God. Well, go visit a graveyard sometime and tell me if that's true. Because the graveyards are filled with people who believe that. Amen. There's going to be a time in every person's life that they're going to face that cold, dark grave. But they don't have to face it alone. They can face it with God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.